You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I spoke to Jackie Talbot, the group manager of secondary schools at the Ministry of Education, about the changes being made to the NCEA system over the next few years. I spoke to her about what the changes are, why these changes are needed, and its potential positive and negative impacts on high school students. Firstly, I asked her what changes have been made so far since the announcement in 2019 by Education Minister Chris Hipkins.
So when Minister Hipkins announced that review, it was really important to understand how NCEA had been working well as a world-class qualification and what we needed to do to strengthen it even further. So for the last 2 years, we've spent time engaging with all stakeholders, right from young people through to family, whānau, teachers, school leaders and employers, to ask them three things. From their perspective, what worked well with NCEA? Second thing is what did they think needed strengthening, and third thing is how they saw it working going forward. We took all of that information, talked to over 30,000 New Zealanders, boiled that down to seven changes which will be implemented between now and 2025. The key things that we wanted to address were, especially for Māori and Pacific young people, that they could see themselves reflected in their learning and the NCEA achievement standards. Really important to value their context and Aotearoa New Zealand. The flexibility of NCEA is its strength, but also through those changes we recognised that we needed to tighten a couple of things.
Yeah, so New Zealand, just to... point out that New Zealand has one of the lowest successes in numeracy rates in the world, with Māori and Pacifica students being impacted the most. This is largely due to different factors, but how can you be sure that the changes that are being made to the NCEA system are helping these groups in particular?
So we recognise that not all young people are getting the supports in schools that they need. We've invested a lot of, this government's invested a lot of money right across the pipeline in numeracy and literacy. And what we want to do is make sure that we are credentialing young people and sending them off into the world with the numeracy and literacy that they need to succeed. With a focus on numeracy literacy and a new co-requisite, we'll be able to ensure that young people are tracking and making progress throughout their schooling careers and arriving at NCEA Level 1 ready to sit the co-requisite and ensuring that they've got the levels that they need.
And so from that, what changes have been made so far in a general sense? So how has, for example, NCEA been made more accessible to students, or how, like, what has been done so far?
So we've spent the last couple of years ensuring that we get the design and the implementation correct. The very first thing that we've done is created, made new, NCEA fees-free. So since NCEA's inception back in the early 2000s, young people have had to pay to sit NCEA. This government thought that was wrong, and actually that was a barrier to young Māori and Pacific especially, and those from low socioeconomic backgrounds, to be able to engage and be awarded an NCEA. So last year, the government removed fees. That was a significant step into providing equal opportunities for all young people. This year, changes that are coming in are rules around resubmissions. We're working really hard to pilot and trial four Level 1 subjects, English, Visual Arts, Religious Studies and Science. We're trialling those this year in selected schools in Wharekura to make sure that the new achievement standards and the new teaching and learning guides speak to all young people. In our achievement standards, we're really focusing on mana ōrite, and what that means is making sure that te ao Māori and mataranga Māori worldview is woven through our achievement standards, our teaching and learning guides, and reflects New Zealand's curriculum in the right and proper context, so that young Māori and Pacific especially can, as I said, can see their learning reflected in the achievement standards, the work they're doing and the assessments that they've been involved in. That piloting this year will give us valuable feedback as we go forward rebuilding Level 1 this year to trial and pilot again in 2022 and then the full rollout in 2023.
Are there any concerns of students' learning being affected at all through these changes?
So So the first cohort of young people to have the full set of changes will be those that are in Level 1, Year 11 in 2023. That's why we're taking our time. It seems like a really long time since the Minister announced the changes, but we'll be taking the 5 years, the 2 years that the Minister, that we've already taken, and then this year, 2022 and 2023, to be out there testing, designing, talking to all of our stakeholders to ensure that we get it right. As I said, we're trialling this year and next year, and that iterative feedback that keeps coming back to us will make sure that we're tweaking and getting it right for those young people in 2023. We'll also be investing supports across to family and whānau so they understand the changes, to young people in the classroom, to teachers in their teaching practice, to school leaders in the way they lead, and also talking to employers to make sure that NCA graduates are coming out with the skills and knowledge that they need to be successful in the world.
So obviously a big part of last year was the COVID-19 pandemic. How, with NCA results being released today, how has COVID-19 impacted students' learning throughout secondary education, and how has the NCEA system adapted to learning throughout the pandemic?
Look, I think we started last year with a principle that all young people's learning has been affected, and it will have been affected in different ways. Some young people thrive on working at home by themselves, some thrive in being at school. So what we did first of all is we moved the exams last year, we moved them by a week, which allowed an extra week's teaching and learning time in the classroom for those young people. We also provided digital and print support resources. So we were able to get those out to schools and out to young people pretty quickly. All young people continued their learning, and where assessments couldn't be sat last year or engaged with because they were at home, young people and teachers were connecting with those young people, ensuring that their learning continued, and when they came back into the classroom that they were able to engage in those assessments. NCA's flexibility, like I said before, is its strength. And teachers and young people were able to call on lots of life experiences to credential learning in a different way. We are really excited about the results day today, and we're sure that we were able to give the supports because of the COVID situation that young people engaged with these favourably.
And so my final question to you is, what changes are still need to be made? What are the long-term changes that are still in place at the moment?
So it's pretty exciting. This is just our first year of implementation, and we've got some small changes being made this year. Our first change, was last year with the fees free, which of course continues. It will take until 2025 to have all of the changes embedded. This year we're rebuilding Level 1, piloting next year, and then full rollout in 2023. Then next year we take the time to build Level 2 and then Level 3. The things that are most significant in there is making sure that Te Ao Māori, Mataranga Māori and Pacifica students see themselves in their learning, and also all non-Māori will get a really good education reflected on Aotearoa New Zealand rather than the, you know, Westminster view. So one that reflects our living context in New Zealand. Literacy and numeracy, that also will come into play in 2023. And then our vocational entrance award, we're still designing that. What will that look like sitting alongside university entrance, so that young people who choose a different pathway than university also have their learning credentialed, and employers understand that those that are coming through a vocational pathway are ready to engage in apprenticeships and further work and training outside of the schooling system.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.